Blog Talk Radio.
Terminal fans, the Sun Guy and QT with you once again. A couple of quick show notes. If you're looking for wrestling today, KDW running in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. You also have up in our neck of the woods, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling with the return of some of the California talent that we had a few weeks ago. Without further ado, I would like to bring our guest on. He is from Strong Style Wrestling. Mike Smith, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, man. How's it going?
Going pretty well. Well, since today is your first time here on our particular show, we will start you off with our first-timer question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Oh, wow. Well, growing up, I grew up in the old Mid-South UWF area, Oklahoma City. Always was just a really big wrestling fan for as long as I could ever remember. Then I kind of just bounced around moving as a kid, and I stumbled up, got married, and moved up to Indiana, and I came across Indiana as a hotbed for pro wrestling. There's just companies all over, and I luckily just got my foot in the door through Eric King, luckily doing a starting off as a man, or as a referee, rather. And it just kind of went from there, spanned out, did some reffing for a couple of years until I started up my own company, Strong Style Wrestling.
Now, had starting your own company been a lifelong goal of yours, or was this something that wasn't necessarily a lifelong goal, but you took advantage of a situation?
Right. No, I wouldn't say it was always a lifelong goal. It's something that I pondered over a little bit. And then, like I said, once I got my foot in the door, learned a little bit more about the business and the backside, behind the scenes and stuff, then I just kind of ventured into it and said I'd take a gamble with it. And it's been, I don't regret 1 minute of it.
Now, promoting, as we know, is sort of a challenging aspect in professional wrestling. When you were first getting into the promoting end of things, what were some of the challenges that you don't think a lot of promoters would realize they would have to deal with that is common for a promoter to do?
Oh, wow. That is a very good question. Obviously the booking of the talent, you got your local guys and, of course, the bigger names and stuff, getting, building trust up with those guys, the names, the talent, booking the venues, there's just all kinds of really complicated tasks. Some of it's, a lot of people don't really take it for granted, don't put too much thought into it, but it's really hard work.
What are some of the challenges that going in you expected to face that ended up being a little bit easier than you would have imagined?
Obviously, again, behind the scenes, gaining the boys' trust. That is a lot of promoters, some shady promoters out there. I hate to say it, but there's shady wrestlers out there as well. It's just building up a good reputation, starting up, I started off small, just kind of, each show we got a little bit bigger as we went on. Where Strong Style's been around now for almost, going into our fourth year. It is what it is, but it's really complicated getting that stuff going.
On the shows that you've ran so far in the 4 years, obviously you've come across a lot of talent in that time. You learned along the way. But running the earlier shows, what did you have to do in order to find the talent that you wanted to work with on your shows?
Right. Again, like I said, you know, Indiana is a really hotbed, especially northern Indiana. You know, and there's several companies, I can think of probably five or six companies in a 60-mile radius in that area. And I wanted to be different than everybody else. The reason I say that, if, you know, you go to promotion A and promotion B is still using all the same guys, the same talent, it kind of makes it, you know, you're seeing these guys on a regular basis. So I wanted to bring in fresh faces. I wanted to bring in eventually the bigger names that you would see on TV from the past, and try to put on the best matches possible and build up a really good fan base.
One of the more challenging aspects of being a promoter that fans may not either comprehend or appreciate is locking down venues. Sometimes it's a real challenge to find a venue that will work, and sometimes it's a challenge to find a venue in certain towns that will accept professional wrestling in it. What has it been like for you personally working with the venues where you've ran shows?
You know, luckily I've been lucky on that. I've came across some really good. You know, I ran in Goshen, Indiana, for quite a while at the Hernandez Center. We started off as a smaller venue, as we got bigger, we're based in South Bend now, and we do a lot of shows at the Century Center. Some of the venues, like you said, they can be kind of pricey. That just goes with the business. You know, as we build, if we get bigger venues, we're getting ready to venture into Indianapolis now. And we'll be running shows there pretty regularly for about the next couple of years. So, you know, we're going to be there like once a month. It's just, like I said, luckily for me, I haven't really had too many problems, and that's always a plus.
Now, in wrestling, as well as most sports, there is a lot of ego-driven things that happen both in the ring and out of the ring. Sometimes a promoter has to deal with a lot of fake work. What has it been like for you having to deal with the occasional flare-up of egos?
I got a really strict policy about that. My dressing room, my locker room, the boys and girls that's in there, I have ran across a few egos. I have ran, but they're all replaceable. I try not to, I don't deal with it personally. I don't want the bad seeds in my locker room. I've had a couple, and we've had a couple of disagreements, and, they go their way, I go mine. I wish them luck, but I just, I don't keep that attitude in my environment.
When you bring in guys that have been off television, like you said, and some of the bigger names, do you find that just as a general rule, they are a little bit more helpful as far as being able to spot things in your show that can be improved upon? Do they give you a lot of positive feedback and constructive criticism to improve the shows, or do you find that a lot of them are just in and out and not really taking the time to help build?
Sure. I can tell you, I have always said that Tommy Dreamer was the first guy, the first really big name I used on Strong Style Wrestling. I've used him several times, over the course of the years. Tommy's great. He's always got good input. He's always willing to, give you his opinion. I mean, he's worked for all the major companies, so he obviously knows what he's doing. Billy Gunn was another guy. Had this, he was always creative, always helping out. Kevin Thorne. Al Snow, all those guys, those guys come to the top of my mind that I've really learned a lot from. They're always there. I can call Tommy, he'd be, hey, what do you think about this? And he'll, he's always there to give, help out, give a, be an ear and give his suggestions and his opinions.
Indiana, of course, was a territory at one point in time for Dick the Bruiser. It was his own separate territory, basically. A lot of the territorial guys still live in the Indiana region to this day. Do you find that a lot of the territorial guys will stop by and offer advice and try to help the younger kids out?
Sure, definitely. You know, I see it a lot in the locker room, and that's, you know, you know, the older guys, the veterans, with all their years and experience, I always I tell my younger guys, hey, you know, just here's your chance. Go and pick those guys' brain. Learn as much as you can. And I always, you know, these guys are always giving back to the business. And that's, you know, that's what's going to keep wrestling growing. It's going to keep wrestling strong. You know, because there are a lot of young talent out there right now who are willing to learn and willing, you know, do what it takes. But, yeah, I definitely have seen that several times in the locker room where the guys will, you know, they're always willing to help out and give all the advice that they can.
A lot of promotions are opening up schools to train a new crop of wrestlers that they can utilize on their shows. Is there a school that Strong Style utilizes, or do you have an agreement with any other schools to be kind of a feeder system for you?
Right. I tell you what we kind of do. We've always asked, how do you break into the business? How do we get started? You know, I always suggest Steve Wilson, Congo Kong, over with Jason Maples in the Fort Wayne area. Steve, again, a great mind for the business. I mean, he's just now, you know, he's luckily got his break in TNA Impact. So those guys would be, I suggest those guys real highly. And, of course, down around the Kentucky area, of course, OVW.
Very good places to start. As far as training goes, I completely agree there. One of the new things that promoters have been utilizing in the last couple of years is the independent wrestling channel on Roku. There's companies from all over the United States that put up matches, sometimes complete shows on there. Have you been utilizing the Roku device in recent times as far as trying to get your product out there to the masses?
So far I have not, but it is something that, it's funny that you bring it up. We are definitely trying to do that right now. We're actually with them, trying to work something out with them as well as Flow Slam. Cause you know, YouTube has done their thing recently where they've, you know, you can't monetize pro wrestling on there, so they're limiting their sponsors there. So, yeah, it's definitely, like you're saying, we're definitely working on that. It's just, it's a work in progress right now.
Is the Roku channel something that you actually utilize as far as scouting out potential talent to come to you? I know there's promotions from Indiana. There's some from states not that far away. Do you look on there to try to look up who might be someone that would interest you in using it Strong Style?
Absolutely. Always looking for new talent. You know, I like to keep, you know, I like to keep my product fresh. Like I said, there's a ton of great guys out there on the independent scene right now. You know, I get messages all the time, you know, about people inquiring, you know, wanting to come in, and there's just, you know, unfortunately, there's only so many spots, you know, per show. But, yeah, I do have my eye on a lot of talent. I'm looking forward to coming in. But, yes, definitely use that for a good scouting device.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by. He has some questions also, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Okay, sounds great.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, Mike.
How's it going?
Not too bad. Not bad. Mike, I saw two of your wrestlers in action on YouTube in a video called Damien Sandow versus Jack Thriller, Strong Style Wrestling. My question is, are Damien Sandow and Jack Thriller indeed on the Strong Style Wrestling roster?
Jack Thriller has been one of my regulars for a few years. Sandow, he was just a special guest on the show that you're referring to that night. That show was in South Bend. I believe it was last August is when that was, if I recall right. But no, Sandow, like I said, was just a special guest appearance for the show. But Thriller, I can't say enough good things about him. I think he's very underrated. I think he should be used in a lot more promotions other than Strong Style. But, yes, he is definitely one of my regulars.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, during this match, Jack Thriller was quite upset that the crowd was calling him Leprechaun, and he was also upset that a two-handed, over-the-head hand grip with Sandow at the beginning of the match went wrong when Sandow, after a count of three, threw him face first to the mat. Well, Jack, he bailed out of the ring and he grabbed the microphone, returned to the ring, and told Damien that they obviously had gotten off on the wrong foot. As he was speaking, he clearly lulled Damien into a sense of security because suddenly Jack Thriller kicked him in the abdomen and sent him to the mat, where he started delivering forearms to the back and stomps to his arms and back. Unfortunately, the video ended with Damien in the corner still reeling from the stomps to his back, and this was only after 3 minutes had gone by. Do you know how this match went on? Can you fill in some of the action that the video doesn't show?
Sure, definitely. I'm not sure why. That video may have ended. It may have been somebody. I know that video wasn't posted by me on there, but unfortunately, I'm sorry you didn't get to see all of it. But yeah, they had quite an entertaining match. Like I said, Jack, he's a smaller guy compared to Sandow, especially Sandow. A pretty good sized boy. They really had a really entertaining match. The fans really got into it. Jack is a great heel. He did very well, getting the crowd over. But unfortunately, that night it wasn't for him to be, and Mr. Sandow got the victory.
Wow, all right. Okay, chalk up a victory to him. Okay. All right. Well, Mike, this match took place in what looked like to be a theater because of the individual plush-looking red chairs. They were light years ahead of the regular steel folding chairs that are usually found at events. I'm guessing that this might have been at the Irvine Theater in Indianapolis that you may have mentioned to Sunday earlier.
No, actually, that show that you're referring to with Sandow was in South Bend at the Century Center. It's a really great venue. I mean, it's kind of like a horseshoe set up, and like you said, the plush chairs and everything. As a matter of fact, I had Marcus Bagwell on the show there last summer, and he said that when they walked into the venue, it reminded them of the old place where WCW used to do their TV tapings in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask how the Irvine Theater differs from the Century Theater in South Bend. And that's located on Martin Luther King Drive.
Right. Yes. To be honest with you, my first show at the Irvine Theater will be in August. This coming up August 11th will be my first time running there. So as far as the differences, I'm not real sure yet because, like I said, the first time will be at the Irvine in August.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow.
The Century Center, I believe, holds a little bit more people than what the Irving will. But like I said, we do have some stuff coming up with another venue in Indianapolis that we'll be announcing probably in the next couple of weeks. We've worked out a deal with those guys. And we're going to be there about every month. I can't really say anything more than that right now, but that announcement will be coming soon for the Indianapolis people.
Yes, it does. I know for a fact that on July 22nd, you have Gregory Helms tagging with Kevin Storm, and they're going to be coming up against Guns and Aggression. Who's this tag team, Guns and Aggression? Are they kind of like the Powers of Pain?
Well, you know, not really. They're, you know, Luke Lawson and Mance Warner. Mance is getting a lot of attention down in the IWA territory, you know, for Enrotten and those guys. But up here, they team together for me. They're a young team. Luke was trained by Billy Rock. So, you know, that goes a long way right there. Billy's got a great reputation with a great trainer until he recently decided, you know, he was to give up the training part. But, you know, I think they're a really young tag team. I think they're going to be up and coming. And I think both of those guys, like I said, Mance and Luke, are going to be, they're going to be really big one day.
Now, did you admire the wrestling that the Hurricane did with superhero Molly Holly?
Definitely. You know, Hurricane Helms, I cannot say enough about the guy. He's a class guy, one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. Definitely really enjoyed that character. I do know that all the people there in South Bend for July 22nd are really looking forward to him coming in, and I think it's going to be a really good time.
How did you like the Hurricanes? How would you send action against The Rock on WWE?
Wow. Yes, that was very entertaining for sure. You've got two great personalities right there. How could that match not be fun?
Yes, and the Hurricane also worked with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Did you ever have a chance to meet Stone Cold Steve Austin in person?
Yes, I have actually. I actually met him. Actually, got to talk to him for several minutes in Springfield, Missouri, back in the day when he was in WCW as part of the Hollywood Blondes with Brian Pillman. You know, and I was always a fan of Stunning Steve Austin. You know, when he came in, and then when he, you know, of course, turned into Stone Cold. I knew early that Steve Austin would be huge in wrestling, but man, I didn't know he would be that huge.
Wow, and did you also get a chance to meet Flying Brian Pillman?
Definitely, yes. I got to meet Pillman several times, actually. Again, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Very humble, very quiet. Just a great guy.
Okay, wow, that's fantastic. When was the last time you saw Steve Austin, and are his knees doing okay? I heard he had some problems with his knees, like most wrestlers do.
Most definitely. That's common in pro wrestling. It's been, I'm trying to recall the last time. It's been several years since I've seen him. But the knees, like you say, it's commonplace in pro wrestling. Unfortunately, that happens. You know, I think he's more concerned with the neck problems than it actually is his knees. I know he has a lot of neck problems. That's why he gave up wrestling and everything. But, yeah.
Oh, okay. The neck, yes. That's also been several wrestlers' downfall through the years. Yes, broken
sure.
necks and fractured. Sure. Okay.
Yep.
Well, Mike,
yeah,
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, you know, like I said, in wrestling, you know, it hates to see careers ended short like that, but you know, Austin was a great entertainer, you know, and even entertains still without having to be active in the ring.
Yes, that makes Kurt Angle. When Kurt Angle was wrestling in Pennsylvania in the NCAAs, he suffered a fractured neck, and he finished the match, a collegiate match for the championship, NCAA championship, with his neck hurting, and of course he went on to have a good career in wrestling. How tenacious must a person be knowing that they've had surgery on their neck? You continue to still wrestle.
You know, it says a lot for their, you know, says a lot for their credibility. You know, there's a lot of wrestlers, you know, big name talent wise, and even I see guys on the local scenes, you know, who just, they're always banged up, they're hurting, but they love this. They love this business. They love to entertain. They love the sport. They love to do what they do for the fans, and they, you know, it just keeps them going. And then you always, you know, you hate to see somebody injured, but these guys work through it on a daily basis. They're out there every weekend doing their thing.
Okay, all right. Well, Mike, it also looks like on that July 22nd card that Maria James will be going up against Rudy Jordan, And these two, are these two ladies regulars on your roster, Rudy Jordan and Maria James?
Well, Maria is actually our first women's champion. We call that title the Revolution Strong Women's title. She just won it over the winter when she defeated Kelly Klein and Maddie Max, so in a triple threat. So yeah, she's been on our roster. She started off with Jason Saint in part of the horror show. They also had Kongo Kong in their group. But yeah, Maria's been a real regular for us. Now as far as Ruby, she will actually be making her debut that night in July for Strong Style.
Wow. Okay. All right. I was going to ask you about this Jason Saint. Is he known to travel with carnivals, and is he from the dark side of the tent?
Right. Jason, you know, his character is very unique. He came to me, one day, he just showed up. And this is one thing, this is what a lot of guys, I would give advice to. He showed up without nothing promised, asked for a spot, and he asked for a chance for Strong Style, and I was more than happy to give it to him. He's been very, very, very well for us. And I see him now. He's a regular for IWA. I see him now. He's starting with Michael Elgin's Glory Pro. So Jason is, he's getting well-traveled. He's put in his time. He's paid his dues, and things are paying off for him. It's always good to see something like that.
Wow, okay. All right. Okay. Now, Mike, do you give military discounts at your event, say, like to the veterans?
Sure, absolutely. We do several different things like that. We always, the veterans, like you say, I absolutely get a discount. We, children under ages of 10, we get, for half price, and then, of course, the smaller kids will get it for free. We try to keep our prices pretty, pretty competitive, so everybody, I understand, if you have a family of four, it makes hard, it's hard to go out and buy four ringside tickets for some family. So we try to keep everything as fair price as we can so you can come out and, enjoy yourself while you're at one of our shows.
Wow. Okay. Do you ever hold any canned food drives around the holidays, say like Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Sure, we've done that. Matter of fact, we've done some, we did something like that for Christmas here a couple of years ago in Elkhart. Last summer, we did a deal with Texas Roadhouse where we did a charity show for them where we give the entire gate. Strong Style did not keep $1. We give all the proceeds to one of the food banks like you're talking about. That was last July. We had Buff Bagwell on that show, Evelise from Lucha Underground. Kevin Thorne was on there. It was a really good time. It was a good turnout. And from what I was told, if I remember right, I think they raised almost $14,000 for that charity that day.
Wow, you had Buff Bagwell on a card, huh?
Definitely. Yes, we used Buff a couple of times.
Wow, that's fantastic. Have you ever had Eugene on the card? Whom Sign Guy has been in the ring with?
Right. I've spoke with him several times. We just never have been able to. Unfortunately, our dates just haven't locked up. But it's something we have discussed, but hopefully we'll get him in here soon. But so far, we have not got to use him.
Wow, all right. Okay. Well, Mike, the Midwest is known for its collegiate wrestling, and Indiana, although it's slightly removed from Iowa, but Iowa is the hotbed of college wrestling, one of the states. Have you ever had Cale Sanderson, who went undefeated for Iowa and was a four-time NCAA champion, or maybe have you asked Dan Gable to come to some of your events?
Unfortunately, I've never had a chance to meet those gentlemen, so I haven't even really got to have a conversation with them. So, unfortunately, my answer for that would be no, I have not, but it's something that we definitely wouldn't be opposed to doing.
Yes, I Cale Sanderson would be a very good draw, very good superstar, sure. Yes, okay. Now, you mentioned Billy Rock before. Have you ever been to his school of wrestling?
I have not actually got to go down to his schools when he was open. He has worked some shows for me back in the day. Billy's, again, a great guy. You know, he trained Heidi DeLevis, who is in NXT now. A lot of great talents came out of Billy's school. As well as everybody else, it was sad to see him give up shop.
Wow, all right, okay. Now, after your days as a promoter is over, do you hope to open up a school of wrestling yourself?
It's something I have not really put much thought into. I really enjoy the promoting part of it. Right now, I don't see myself stopping anytime soon. I hope, knock on wood, that we can keep this going for as long as, until the wheels fall off. But I would say, if I had to guess, more than likely when the day that I do decide to hang it up, I would probably that would just be it for me. I don't think I would do the school. That's somebody else's forte and not mine.
Well, okay. All right. Now, did you yourself have a wrestling background in high school? Did you go out for sports?
Yes, I played football and baseball, and I took a couple of years wrestling in Kickapoo in Springfield, Missouri when I was in high school. I always tried to stay active. Then, of course, after school, softball and stuff like that. Always loved sports.
Now, I'm going to guess that you were a second baseman in high school. Am I correct?
I was actually a first baseman with my height and everything, so with the reach, yep, I was a first baseman.
Oh, wow, okay. All right. Can you give us your top three basemen that you've admired in Major League Baseball that have retired?
Oh, wow, that's a tough question. Let's see. McGuire, of course, I live in Missouri, so Mark McGuire was really huge here for the St. Louis Cardinals. He was when he was doing the home run tear with him and Sammy Sosa, that was a lot of fun to watch those guys nailing those home runs the way they were doing left and right.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to guess you also – let me see, because of your height, you were probably a wide receiver in football. Am I correct?
You guessed correct.
Hey!
Yes.
Oh, okay. And who were some of your favorite NFL receivers?
Definitely Jerry Rice. I think he's the greatest receiver ever. Great athlete. If I want to say role model as far as, somebody looking up to, that would definitely been it.
Wow, Jerry Rice. Okay. Well, Mike, have you ever received a knife-edged chop from Congo Kong?
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. I've been on the receiving end of those a couple of times in my referee days. He can hit hard.
Wow. And now I see Congo Kong has a match coming up against the Monster Abyss in your Circle City Chaos event on August 11th.
Yes, that match. I'm really looking forward to that. Like I said, Congo Kong just getting started on Impact Wrestling. He deserves everything that he's getting right now. Abyss is another guy that's worked with us several times, a great guy. I think when those two get in the ring together, talk about a hoss fight. That's definitely going to be one to watch.
Now, Mike, personally, does a chill go down the spine of your back when you look into the eyes of the Monster Abyss?
Definitely. It's awe-taking. These guys, they, for big men, for their size, can do some incredible stuff inside that ring. And they're just great. They're great. I can't say enough good things about either one of those guys.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Mike, you mentioned Jerry Rice as one of your favorite NFL receivers. How about ex-Seahawk receiver Steve Largent? Are you familiar with his work?
Sure, definitely. Another great standout. Yep, he was one of the, his work ethic was great.
Yes, and he could also take some hits, too.
Oh, my, yes, take some major hits.
Yes. And now, speaking of receiver, what was your time in the 40? I'm going to guess your best time was 4.7.
I was a little slower. I'll say I was a barn burner. I think if I recall right, I was around the 4.8, 4.9 mark, somewhere in there.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Well, gentlemen, we have another caller that might have a question, so let's bring the caller on really quick and see what we have. Do we have the caller from the 561 area code?
Hello?
Hello? We've been doing this over 6 years.
I got to tell you, that's fantastic. You know what I love most about your reach? You know what I love most?
All right. Thank you very much.
Couldn't quite
All right,
hear.
QT, go right ahead.
All right. Well, Mike, do you have a wrestler on the roster at Strong Style Wrestling named Lightning Bolt Johnson, and is he a true cruiserweight?
Yes, Lightning Bolt has worked for several shows for us. He's more known for, you know, over for FWF, but yes, he has worked with us before. Definitely would rank him as a cruiserweight. He can do some really good stuff in the ring, and he has a great, you know, he's got a really, really loyal fan base in the Warsaw area, and they travel to our shows and follow him. Just really over, really good guy. The fans love him.
Wow, okay, all right. Do you have a son or daughter that wants to get into wrestling?
I have two daughters, and they absolutely have no desire to be in pro wrestling.
Oh, okay. Wow.
They're fans of the sport and all, but as far as they've never mentioned to me about wanting to be active inside the ring.
Oh, okay. Do you know if either of them have a favorite WWE superstar?
Oh, definitely. They're both big fans of, we've already mentioned him, Steve Austin. They love Stone Cold.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mike, before you were a promoter, you said you were a referee. As a promoter, who have you hired as referees for Strong Style Wrestling? Can you give us some of your referee roster?
Sure, definitely. I've got Ref Russ, who is all over the place. I mean, he's worked for Heroes and Legends. He's worked for some promotions up around the Detroit area. He's Warsaw, FWF. We're starting to use Max Recon, who's down around the Kentucky area. Let's see, who else do we have referee-wise here? We're going to start using Charlene McAnally, who's from down around the IWA area. So, yeah, you know, there's some really good talent refs out there. But Rusty, he's our head official, has been with us for a long time, great ref. And like I said, he's making towns and, you know, working for several promotions, and he deserves all he can get as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Have the fans ever requested you come out of retirement and don the zebra stripes for a final time?
Those days are behind me. I actually did have an active match against Remy Wilkins in a street fight last July. My days in the ring, I'm older now. I'm 45. My active days are over. I'm going to stay behind the scenes where it's a lot easier.
Wow, you were in a street fight against a wrestler named Remy Wilkins?
Yes, sir. We'd actually had an angle going on. They called themselves Circle City, Calabo, Drew Skills, Apollo Star, and Remy Wilkins. They've been kind of thorn in my side since the very first Strong Style show. It just went on for years and years. Anything they could do to try to, take the shortcuts. Me and Remy didn't see eye to eye on several things. And we had a street fight last July in South Bend, Indiana.
Wow. July in Indiana, I suppose that the temperature was up near 90 degrees?
It was warm, yes. We had like I said, we was at the Century Center that night. We had our match, and then the very next day was the show we did for Texas Longhorn, the Longhouse, that we did the charity show, and it was outside, and it was in the high 90s that day. It was very warm.
Wow. Well, it doesn't reach 90 too often in the Northwest. It's I guess I'm going to say probably about 8 times a year, 90 degrees. But
sure.
There have been some wrestling events in Portland, Oregon that Sangai and myself have been to that have been pretty warm.
Definitely.
What's the hottest you've ever wrestled in the Midwest? Hottest degrees?
I'm trying to think where that might have been now. Like I said, we've ran a lot of shows in South Bend. The hottest place, let me think here if I can recall that. I truly think because it was an outside show that day that we're talking about, the charity show for Elkhart. Like I said, we had Bagwell, we had Kevin Thorne on that show, Evelise. That was a really, Kelly Klein was on that show. It was very warm out that day. The people, you know, they braved through it. It was about a 3-hour show, but everybody had fun, and that's all that matters right there.
Wow. Now, speaking of the Northwest, a lot of talent came through there when it was still the territorial days, like Playboy Buddy Rose, Rip Oliver, the Kangaroos, the Von Steiger Brothers, and even Kurt Hennig and Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Do you ever go on YouTube and look up the 1970s in the Northwest, specifically Portland?
Sure. Portland was a hotbed in pro wrestling there, and they've had some really big names come out of that area, like you're saying, Roddy Piper, Raven even debuted back in that area back in his day. So yes, Portland was a great territory.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Mike, say if you could travel back in time, maybe if you got on the Family Guy and Stewie put you in his time machine, and you could go back and you had the choice of meeting these three wrestlers, Frank Goff, Lou Fez, or Gorgeous George, which one would you most likely pick?
Oh, wow, tough choices. Tough choices right there. You know, I would say just for the pure character of it, I think I'd pick Gorgeous George. Just the flamboyant, you know, I think that would be something to relive right there, because of just his character, his style. I think that would be fun to watch.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, Mike, I wish you good luck in that July 22nd match at the Century Theater, and be sure to tell the Hurricane hi for me.
Yeah, I truly will. I will definitely mention your name, and I appreciate the goodwill.
And keep a close eye on Guns and Aggression.
Definitely. Yeah, those guys, we've definitely got our eye on them.
Wow. All right. Okay. At this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sangai. Thanks for all the nice answers.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, QT. You mentioned the street fight with Remy Wilkins. After the match, did either member of the Soul Shooters tell you that you be sucking?
After the match, things got a little complicated. Like I said, Remy had been with those guys for quite some time. The fact that he lost to me did not sit well with them, and they actually turned on Remy. And so Remy, unfortunately was out of their group, and he started teaming with Anthony Toatelli for a couple of months. And then Remy had a loser leave wrestling match with Drew Skills and came up on the short end of that. So that's kind of the aftermath of our street fight.
Now, Drew Skills, who is a regular for you, is a regular in a great many promotions. He's been around for over 15 years, has experience in a lot of the larger promotions, and is someone that works a lot of different Midwest promotions. Do you see a guy like a Drew Skills being sort of the leader of Indiana independent wrestling, since he's in so many promotions, comes across so many of the various wrestlers in the area?
You know, you would definitely have to give that nod to him. You know, his reputation, I mean, he was the Heroes and Legends champion for quite some time. He's wrestled a lot of huge names over for Heroes and Legends. He's been with us since day one. As far as, like you say, a leader in the locker room, definitely he's always, you know, Drew's always got input, always got opinions, and that's something that I would love for my wrestlers. You know, just because I set up a theme style for them, I'm always open to suggestions, always listening. I'm always wanting to hear what they have on their mind, and Drew's one of those guys who's always right there to do that.
QT referenced how important the referee role is in wrestling, and you've got a lot of good referees coming in to your company. Another vital role is that of ring announcer. The ring announcer is, for all intents and purposes, the face of the company. As far as the fans see, someone that sort of guides the show along. Who are some of the ring announcers you have utilized, and what do you look for in hiring a ring announcer?
You know, like you said, the ring announcer is, you know, it's his job. You know, his, like you said, he is the face of your company, more or less. He's the first person the fans are going to see when they get to the show. You know, it's his job to, you know, to hype the fans up. You know, each introduction is unique. We use Ryan Anderson, who has been with us since day one, and he's actually been the only announcer that I've used. Does a great job. Ryan's, you know, very, very energetic. So, yeah, he's very, very good at what he does.
He is very, very good, yes. If there's listeners today that are in the wrestling industry that are interested in potential bookings with Strong Style Wrestling, what would you say to them as far as being able to get their name out to you, and perhaps a little advice on what exactly it is you're looking for in prospective talent?
Definitely. Like I said, I'm always open to new talent. I like to keep things fresh. I've got, on my Facebook, I got a message of inbox of potential people that we'll be bringing in soon. I'm always, you know, as any promoter I think should do, I'm always looking for something unique, a different look, a different style. You know, I like to bring in different, you know, in pro wrestling, you know, I think you got to have, you need your high flyers, the guys that's going to come out to, you know, your opening show and just set the bar high. You go out there and all the fans and put on, you know, some phenomenal matches. Then you've got the big guys like Kongo Kong and those guys who can just go out there and tear things up. So that's, you know, I use Kongo Kong. Jake Oman has worked with us before. Shane Mercer, great. He's our Strong Style champion. Great look. He's a beast. He's a monster. You know, his strength is incredible. Always looking for something. You know, anything unique. I welcome anybody. You know, if they have any interest in coming to Strong Style, feel free. You can message us on our Strong Style Wrestling page on Facebook, or you can even message me personally.
Now, with the amount of talent that you have, both male and female, do you ever do mixed tag team matches there at Strong Style?
I'm trying to recall. I don't think we've had any mixed tag matches. We have had some mixed, you know, intergender matches. Like I said, Heidi Lovelace and Jack Thriller had a good program rivalry going on with us for quite some time. Matter of fact, Heidi even got into the ring here last year against Shane Mercer and Son of Havoc, Matt Cross. And those guys had a great match.
Now, some of the female talent that has pretty much been strictly independent but gets around on a very regular basis and hits promotions all over the country would include a couple of ladies that have been up in our area for different tours, Casey Carlisle and Andrea the Giant. Are you familiar with either of them, and are they talents that might soon make their way to Strong Style?
I'm very familiar with Casey. We've actually had a few conversations about coming in. I think Casey's a great wrestler. I'm not familiar, however, with Andrea, as you're referring to, but definitely hope to get Casey in sometime soon.
Highly recommend both of them. Both of them great pieces of talent.
Definitely.
Another important aspect for wrestling promotions in order to make some sort of profit, hopefully, and in order to pay their bills, besides ticket prices, is merchandising. Some independent companies are better than others at merchandising themselves. What have you done to merchandise Strong Style?
What we do, obviously, you know, we record all of our shows and we put those out on DVD. We keep a fresh line of T-shirts in. We mix those up every 6 months or so. We break out a new T-shirt. Of course, you know, the autographs, the 8x10, stuff like that.
Independent wrestlers also utilize merchandising as a way to make money. Oftentimes that is going to be their profit on a given show, depending on travel expenses and how much they can make on a given show. What's some of the more unique items that you've seen come across the Strong Style merchandise tables?
You know, obviously a lot of our guys do the 8x10 things. Toa Telly is always making, new T-shirts with him and Kinsey. They do the wristband thing, of course, for the children, the kids. There's glow sticks. Some of these guys, they're real creative about what they bring to their table, so it's always kind of neat to see what they do.
Oh, another aspect in wrestling that is useful in helping some promoters make profits on their shows is concessions. Do you utilize a concession stand as part of the way to make money at Strong Style?
Definitely, most definitely. The Century Center has a great concession thing, and the popcorn, the hot dogs, the sodas, and then there is, we do also do some beer sales and stuff like that. It seems like beer and pro wrestling just kind of go hand in hand. So, yep, most definitely use that stuff to take advantage of.
One of the important things to a lot of people in this industry's calendars is the annual Cauliflower Alley Club gathering in Las Vegas every year. Have you ever ventured out to participate in Cauliflower Alley?
Unfortunately, not. I have not got to do that as of yet.
Is that something that any of your wrestlers take part in? I know that wrestlers from all over go there. Do you ever have Strong Style represented out there?
We have not got to venture out west much. We've stayed, we're still fairly getting our legs underneath us. We've did a slow build in the Midwest there, Indiana. Like I said, we're kind of just venturing out, but no, we unfortunately haven't got to venture out that way. But hey, one day soon we would love to try to do that.
Well, we have a few minutes left in the show today, so I want to give that time to you. If there is anything you would like to say to the listeners, anything at all you want to plug and promote, upcoming shows, merchandise, websites, social medias, your favorite bakery, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right, well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show before we ended up. But definitely, you can catch us, Strong Style Wrestling, on Facebook. We also are on Twitter, Instagram. You can follow us all there. We're always making announcements, match graphics. There's always videos, something going on there, promos. We try to stay active with all our fans on the internet. You send us a message, we do our best to respond as fast as we can, because at the end of the day, if it wasn't for the people, supporting us, we couldn't do what we're doing, whether it be, whether they're following us on Facebook, whether they're buying the tickets to the shows, we can't express enough how grateful we are for those people for doing that. And we try to put on, you know, the best show we possibly can. We got a couple of shows coming up, July 22nd, what we call When Worlds Collide. This will actually be When Worlds Collide 4, where we team up with PWK and RCW, and it's just three companies getting together for one night and putting on, you know, these shows have been drawing, you know, 500 and 600 people every time that we have these. And this one shouldn't be, you know, any different. We've got the Hurricane coming. Gilbert will be on that show. The Spirit Squad, Bobby Fish, who just recently showed up in NXT this weekend. It's going to be a stacked card. UFC, Tom Waller will be there. You know, it's going to be a really big show. If everybody can get with us that night, July 22nd in South Bend. Tickets are on sale now. They're moving pretty fast. I would suggest getting those. Then, of course, we'll be making our debut in Indianapolis at the Irvin Theater on August 11th, and that show is selling really quick. It's got John Morrison on there, Kevin Thorne. Biss will be there, Adam Rose, Christy Hemme. You know, it's just going to be – that show's really, really stacked, and we're looking forward to getting in there and doing good things in Indianapolis. We ran PopCon there last year. Like I said, we're looking forward to we're going to be there every month, and we're looking forward to seeing what the Indianapolis fans, we've heard a lot of good things about them.
Well, Mike, it has been our pleasure to have you on the show. I want to wish you continued success with Strong Style. I hear nothing but good things from all of the people I know that have come across that promotion. So best of luck to you, and we'd love to have you back in the future.
Definitely. I'd love to come back with you guys. It's been fun. You know, it was a quick hour. But thank you for all the kind words, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
All right. Fans, if you're anywhere near a Strong Style wrestling show there in the Midwest, I definitely recommend checking them out. Tons and tons of great talent, including our own women's expert, the amazing Maria, ply their trade there, so go support them and what they do, and we will talk to you next week.